something else?
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Being here, for me, I just want to talk about my own experiences. Is it okay?
Yeah, sure. Since no one else is here.
It's very different to being in Krishna Valley, obviously. It's been really hard for me. So I keep finding my mind really doubting a lot of things. I'm thinking a lot about this, so I keep thinking, oh, that must be good. But then I keep catching myself really doubting everything more and more as the pain increases in my back. So the pain, the physical pain really has got a lot to do with it.
Physical pain of, oh.
Yeah, it's just sitting a lot, I don't know, to doing repetitive movements, not being able to increase the blood circulation, you know, it keeps stopping and I don't know why. Anyway, it doesn't matter so much, but I have this pain and it'll go away, I know, it's nothing serious, it's just muscle pain. But it just makes me think of not dark thoughts, like really doubtful things and also the questions, listening to questions of people asking, you know, different things. And for example, the other day we were talking, when I was translating, this guy talking about the deities. Why? And that's a question that I have as well, because we are so not used to, you know, being from a Muslim country. But I never thought about it before, but now I just keep catching myself thinking about it and sort of doubting.
So that's good. There's no problem doubting, because there's so many things in Krishna consciousness. It's a whole different life, and it's a very detailed picture of reality. So therefore, there's a lot of things to analyze, and when I don't, either I have some opposite explanation for why things are, or I don't have an explanation, then it's natural that one is going to doubt. So just the question is what you do with doubt. So doubt means that you look to find what is the answer to that question. And then you see whether the answer to that question makes sense, is logical, and is agreeable. Sometimes one doesn't necessarily, even though the answer is logical and agreeable, it doesn't necessarily immediately digest. And one has to wait, because things are not just intellectual, but they're also a matter of purification before things sort of sink in. So yes, there's a lot of things to process, and you don't process everything at once. You can go by feeling. Some things feel good, and chanting feels good, and things make sense. But Krishna consciousness brings in and deals with everything, and it gives a whole new perspective of how to actually see things.
Another thing I have is I keep feeling bad about myself, because I find it really difficult to understand a lot of the talking, and I think, oh, maybe my reception is really broken down or something. I can't understand. A lot of people seem to understand faster than me. So I'm getting a lot of self-doubt going up as well, which is not making me feel happy. You know, that's why I thought of it, because of what Sri Ram's question about the happiness being, and what you said about it, poison first. I do feel a lot of poison coming up, and it's just not nice.
Yeah, it's not self... It shouldn't be self-doubt. It's actually... You know, self-realization is sort of like a big job. And the first thing is, you come to realize how unrealized we are.
Unrealized.
In other words, purification means dirt. In other words, bathing means you're dirty. So just how dirty we are is part of the package, and that's not something that we need to feel bad about, but rather it's a condition of reality. And then I realized that yes, I really need to clean up. And one of the things that as things become more and more, as the more light comes on, we get to actually see just how far entangled we are in the world, in life, and but we need to have faith in the fact that our liberation not only just depends upon our own effort, but also Krishna's grace. And we just need to make sort of the best effort that we can, and understanding things is also proportionate to purification of the heart. The same Bhagavad Gita and the same Srimad Bhagavatam is appreciated and understood by devotees in proportion to how pure their hearts are. And it will have a different effect on them according to the purity of their heart. It's a science. So it doesn't matter that things come up, but we shouldn't necessarily be too disturbed. We should expect that. We should expect that when you start cleaning, and in this place there's a lot of cleaning to do around here, but if you start cleaning, then you expect the dirt will come up. So first all the dirt comes, then when you start to polish, then everything starts to shine.
I feel that physical dirt comes up as well when I do my japa. I keep getting this, and I think, oh, it must be cleaning. We stopped for a while, I thought, oh, I'm clean now, and then it started again here.
No, there's a lot.
So smoking, and I think, you know, things are sort of like loosening inside, so maybe similar to just saying, physical,
physical, mental, emotional, and then ultimately spiritual. Yeah, it goes. The power of the mantra, it goes very deep. It goes down to the atomic level. It goes to spiritual level, which is beyond the atomic level. So everything gets affected. Everything becomes purified. It's very powerful. It's one thing, we're going to sing and have a good time. But it's a very powerful medicine, and it brings up a lot of stuff to the surface. And that's all right. You just keep taking it. It's like very often medicine, especially like homeopathic medicine, when you first take it, it makes the disease worse. And then afterwards, it starts to subside. So you're doing the right thing. Yeah, this is different than Krishna Valley, but
it is. It was really nice there. Great, you know, I found something really fantastic. And here I'm thinking, I'm not so sure.
Yeah, we're trying to spiritualize an atmosphere, and the content is the same. It's just the surroundings or the environment are different, and the accommodation is different. And but anyway,
it wasn't a criticism. It was just. I was surprised how different I feel.
Yeah.
Maybe it's good.
No, it's natural. We're all feeling different. Shira.
Many examples, as you mentioned, that as we make this cleaning up process, it's become more and more difficult and sophisticated, go deeper, and even need some extra light to see the way. But in the, especially in the beginning, I had this logic that if we are doing this cleaning up process, everything should be easier because they are less dirty on our heart, consciousness. So where my logic was foiled?
No, because the anarthas are of different types. They're not all in the same category. Some are very solidified. Some are, anartha means bad habits. So bad habits, some are very recent, and they've just coming as a result, habits coming as a result of some occasional activity. Some, for instance, illicit sex. Why is illicit sex the most difficult habit? Because it's something that you do in every lifetime. You may have not killed someone in every lifetime, but you've done sex in every lifetime, in every species. So that then is something that's actually very, very ingrained within the nature, and therefore you should expect that that's going to be something that's going to be very difficult to actually purify. Maybe able to control it is one thing, but actually free it from the heart, it's much more ingrained. So according to activities, the frequency of a same sinful activity or any activity, sinful or pious, in over successive lifetimes, the severity of an activity, it will result in a different type of habit, which has different degrees of persistence. Some may just be just like that at the top, and it may be very, very light, and some may be very, very deep, and it may be very entrenched, very hard. They're not in the same category. So it's not that, yeah, there's only so many habits, and you just go through, and that's it. They're of different strata. Sometimes it will appear like it's becoming more difficult.
We can read that there are different stages of purifying the anarthas, and there are anarthas that are purified even in the lower stages of devotional service. And those anarthas that are coming from making offenses against the holy name, those will be purified the last.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand what kind of anarthas are, because there are lust, anger, greed, pride, illusion, and envy, these six main anarthas. And if we, how could like lust arise from committing an offense towards the holy name? It's like,
no, but there's more. Bad habits are more than just in the category of lust, anger, and greed. Those are main categories, but they manifest in many different ways. So, for instance, they may manifest in, I don't know, attachment to a trifling thing, like Bharat Maharaj became attached to a deer. It doesn't appear like lust, anger, and greed, but it's a consequence of that. So those are sort of main, those are the main enemies, but the way in which the type of attachments that they may cause, one is the habit itself, and the other is how those habits manifest. So someone may rise very early, but be very habituated to eating meat, and can't give that up for some particular reason. People will have weaknesses or attachments to certain type of things, and they are not necessarily just an immediate reflection of those main characteristics. And the reason that they become more difficult to purify, or the ones become more difficult to purify, is because you need better instruments. But when you start Krishna consciousness, the quality of your instruments, the quality of your devotion, your chanting, is of a relatively low level. And to get it, to actually purify these others, you need better instruments. But the better instruments lie when you become free from those things. And that's why it becomes a difficult process. That's why as you go down, you need chanting with taste in order to remove certain anarthas, impurities. But to get to taste, you have to, it becomes more and more difficult to get those instruments. So it's almost like, you know, you're trying to dig down and the instruments are in the rock themselves, and you have to get to them in order to be able to use them. And then as far as offenses, yes, one thing is, and then those are still the lesser problem, is bad habits that are coming due to sinful and pious activities in previous life. We always talk about sins. The pious activities may be more problematic. In fact, they are more problematic. Sins are easy because they're bad. So you know their effect. Piety is, the only good thing is in Kali Yuga, very few people do pious activities. But piety is even more difficult to get rid of in one sense. The tendency to do good, to do charity. You see what, this one thing, for instance, this obsession with veganism. It's a result of piety. In other words, someone is so obsessed with nonviolence that he actually can't get past it to get into the substance of Krishna consciousness. So that's one of the traps of piety. And then the other one is that even more severe than sinful activity or pious activity is actually offense to the very process that's elevating you from that. And then the anarthas that come, the bad habits that come from that, can also vary. And why shouldn't it come? How will those bad habits manifest? Well, they'll manifest in terms of these things, in terms of this lust, anger, greed, particularly because the traces of that lust, anger, and greed are still there. And therefore, the reaction to those will be to then actually magnify the existence of those habits themselves.
Is there any way to recognize whether my anartha is coming from my pious or impious activities or from offense against the holy name?
Yeah, the ones from offenses are harder to get rid of. So when you read that Madhurya Kadambini, then he gives the list of when, how you become free, what stages of devotional service you become free from pious and impious activities, and what stage you become free from offenses. And offenses, those things that are very resilient, that don't go away, we may conclude that often these may be as a result of offenses. So one needs to be very careful as to how one's executing devotional activity, relating with Vaishnavas.
We are reading many scriptures. Do you have any advice for us how to do it?
Read scripture?
Yeah, how to do it, to make it more effective.
Study, and there are many study courses. It may vary. different people sort of study in different ways. I see sometimes the people use these mind maps. It's bewildering to me. I have a different way of studying. But more than reading, studying is important. Studying in general, and you can study in general just by making notes, like Bhagavad Gita is small enough, or Nectar of Instruction, to study in general. Bhagavatam, that becomes too big to just go and start making general notes. You can do that, but it's usually good then to go by subject or categorizing. Like Brihad Bhagavatamrita is the notes on Srimad Bhagavatam on actually just the progress of spiritual advancement. How, what are the stages of development? Literally, that's what it's about. There are many good study guides, study courses. One is to do the Bhakti Shastri, and that systematically takes you through that. Get on, do the correspondence course with Bhakti in Hungary. Are you doing that? Are you doing the
Bhakti Shastri? Yeah, I did.
But then there's the whole. You can just there's a whole 3-year course, of which Bhakti Shastri is only part. And it's very good, it's very intensive study of Bhagavatam. Another way of studying is doing overview, which is what is... I did that quite a lot with the Gita. Summarize a chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in 2 lines.
2 lines?
2 lines. Because
uh-huh.
Then you really have to understand it to summarize it in 2 lines.
So maybe this condense...
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
As much information and the relevant information, because you won't be able to put everything, what's the most important thing, and just summarize it in 2-3 lines. Whole Bhagavad Gita. So you got whole Bhagavad Gita in like 50 lines.
With purport also?
Could. But I found also just studying Krishna's words themselves and then just seeing purport just for purpose of explanation. And you can also summarize purports. And then what connects? Another way is, you know, what connects one chapter to another? What's the link? What's the train of thought that goes from one to the other all the time? And it's very enlightening. You feel like the lights are turning on. You become very enthusiastic. And that increases the quality of our devotion. Because we really know how to do what Krishna's not just talking just to entertain himself. He's talking for our benefit. And when we really hear him and we hear his message, then it really gives us inspiration to go forward, and knowledge removes doubts. Okay, now we should start getting ready. We're supposed to... Now we're back to taking the 1:30 boat.
Yes.
But maybe we can have a little meeting also with Krishnamala. Since she's not going to be able to meet over there, and I have to give you your airplane ticket. Okay.